Good morning. Proclaim the glory and the power of God. The Spirit of creation has recreated us. Rejoice in the Holy Spirit who gives us life. Remember your baptism and be thankful. God has blessed us. Now let us prepare for worship. On behalf of Concordia, I would like to welcome all of you this morning, members and guests, people that I haven't visited with us before. Our hope is that you will receive a blessing this morning in worship. I've been asked to highlight two announcements this morning. You will find the announcements in your bulletin, but the community meal is served tonight in our fellowship hall from 4 until 6. In the fellowship hall, you're going to find a big pink tub. And in that tub is a new program, Stock the Schools. It is focusing on helping students that are in need. Each month, there will be a collection for different items. And the month of January, we'll be collecting granola bars, markers, folders, and glue sticks. So that's a wonderful way to serve in mission. I also am going to ask that in the center of the aisle and in your pews are attendance pads that you can sign and pass along. I'm going to ask that you please stand as you are able, and we will sing in our black hymnal, page 2273, and it's way in the back of the book. Jesus, we are here.
Thank you.
Please join me in our praise. From the waters of creation, the earth sprang forth.
From the waters of the womb, God's blessed one was given to us.
From the waters of a river, people were baptized and marked as God's children.
Praise be to God, whose loving gifts and presence have called us together.
Let us shout our love to God for God's abundant love. Amen.
Amen. You said shout.
Let us shout?
Yeah.
Oh, was I supposed to shout?
Yeah, we're supposed to shout.
Oh.
Let's shout.
Let's shout.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Now let us turn in our red hymnals to page 608. This is the Spirit's entry now. Let's pray together. God, who watches over us, offering us life and hope, be with us this day as we hear the story of Jesus' baptism. Help us to remember your healing, cleansing, and claiming love for us.
Remind us again of the many ways in which you reach out to us.
May the image of the waters be for us an image of hope.
Bring us closer to you, loving God.
Shower us once more with your grace that we might be renewed in your spirit. Embrace us again with your love. We open our hearts to you this day. Amen. You may be seated.
And I invite the young ones to come up to the front of the church. Hi, Jaden. How are you this morning?
Hi, Mackenzie.
Hi. I'm going to just keep asking you to stand up. Keep standing up this morning. Because, do you know what this is? It's called our baptismal font. Have you been baptized? Do you remember your baptism? I bet you were baptized as babies, weren't you? Yeah? Okay. Look out here, and I want people to raise your hand if you were baptized when you were a baby. Oh, that's most of us. Yep. And that's the way we do it most of the time in the United Methodist Church, but it doesn't have to be that way. And so when we do this morning, I'm going to put my hands in here and like touch you on your forehead, and I'm going to say, it's cold, it's still warm. Feel it. Feel it here. Feel that. Wow, it's warm, isn't it? Okay. And when we do that, we're going to say, remember your baptism and be thankful. But if we were baptized as babies, can we remember it? So why do I say it that way, do you think? Okay, well, I'll give you the answer. I say it that way because, have you heard the story about your baptism? Have your parents talked to you about it? No? Okay. Well, when you're having lunch today, I want you to ask them about your baptism. See, I know that I was baptized twice, both as a baby. I was baptized in the hospital because I got real sick, or they thought I was real sick. And then I got baptized in the church in which I grew up. So I was baptized twice. We only need one baptism. That's what we believe anyway. Okay? And so I don't remember that, but I remember the story of my baptism. And what I remember from that is that it was so important to my mom and dad that I know that God loves me, that they had me baptized. And not only that God loves me, but that I grew up learning about Jesus. Okay? And that's what I think your parents might say to you as well today, that they wanted you to know who God is, they wanted you to know that God loves you, and they want you to love God as well. Okay? And this is one of those ways that reminds us that God loves us and is good to us. Okay? Will you say a prayer with me? Will you repeat after me? Okay. Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
That you sent us Jesus.
That you sent us Jesus.
And that Jesus was baptized.
And that Jesus was baptized.
It reminds us how much you love us.
How much you love us.
Amen. Thank you. Now, if you're going to go downstairs, I think there's someone down there. Okay, there's someone downstairs if you want to go downstairs for the service. We've got a space for third grade and under, or under third grade. So if you want to go down, you can. If not, you can just go sit with your folks.
She's in third grade.
She's in third grade, so she can't go down. She's too old, isn't she? Okay.
So,
talk to your parents about it.
Our first scripture, the Word of God, is from Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 7. One of the first names that's mentioned in the scripture is Apollos. And Apollos was a Jew, and he was described as a learned man, and he had a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He taught about Jesus accurately. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. And Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. At this time, the choir will sing.
Oh, Lord, I come before. comfort those who suffer with the comfort you have given.
I will tell of your great love, for as long as I live, see what a faithful God have I. What a faithful God have I. What a faithful God.
Oh, what a faithful God.
What a faithful God have I. Faithful in every way. What a faithful God have I. What a faithful God.
Oh, what a faithful God.
What a faithful God have I. Faithful in
Thank you, choir. Our gospel reading comes from the book of Mark. John the Baptist prepares the way. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came up from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." This is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God.
My sermon title this morning comes because I use a different translation than Suzanne did this morning. And so it says, John was in the wilderness calling for people to be baptized to show that they were changing their hearts and lives and wanted God to forgive their sin. I made reference to infant baptism when I was with the two young people. I believe that the reason that many people, I believe the reason that some people want to have their babies baptized is because
they are concerned that that child won't go to heaven if it dies before it's baptized. Now, let me tell you, that is a strong Roman Catholic teaching. I grew up in the Catholic Church being taught that if someone dies and they're not baptized, they go to limbo. And there is never a way out of limbo. That put fear in people's hearts and minds. And whereas we might challenge that, we do challenge that in our time. If you remember people from Jesus' time on, not everyone read. So when the priest or the leaders told them that there was this place called limbo, they didn't know how to challenge it. It became a source of fear. There's no grace in that. It just doesn't sound like God to me. God always has grace. Receiving God's grace is one of the things that happens to us in baptism. God gives us grace. The people in Jesus' time were coming from Judea and all around to be baptized, to show, as John said, that they were changing their hearts and their minds and they wanted to know forgiveness. I picture that all the people of Judea, I don't know how many people that was, but I'm guessing that that Jordan River was pretty much packed, or along it it was. The reality was that the people were not living the way that they had been taught to live. They were sinning. Not different than now, huh? John warned them that they needed to make changes or God was going to punish them. And John was, sounds like, kind of a harsh man. Camel hair clothes and all. And John was treating the people as if they were children, scolding children for the way that they were living. And those children were saying, yes, we want to try harder. We want to do better. And it was up to them to make those changes themselves. But then Jesus came along, and something very different happened. Jesus did not make promises about what he was going to do. What Jesus did was turn himself over to God. And in response, God said, my son, my beloved, with you I am well pleased. You bring me such joy. And in that, God sent the Holy Spirit to work through Jesus. The pastor tells a story about a very active woman in the church. She's involved in all kinds of different activities in the church. And one day she came to him and said, I would like to be baptized and to become a member of this church. And he was kind of taken aback. Now, I've got records, so I know who's baptized and who's not, and I know who's members and not. This must have been a larger church than we have. Pastor assumed that she had always been a member. the way she was living her life. And her response to him was that it's only lately that I've decided I'm ready to take my place. Membership in the church, she said, is a sacred responsibility. Too many people have given too much of themselves for too long for me to take it lightly. I wanted to make sure that I was ready to take my place shoulder to shoulder with the others for whom this congregation was life and home. She wanted to be able to completely give herself before she took the vows of membership. I'm not suggesting that that any of us need to be completely ready. We're making a commitment to grow in our faith. But she said, after all this time, because so many people have died for the faith, I now know that I can live for this faith. For her, baptism was that commitment that Jesus made publicly when he was baptized. Jesus modeled the way for us. Frederick Buechner, Christian writer, observed that in his baptism, Jesus honored human life by living one. He hallowed human death by dying a human death. And he created new life by being raised to new life. He took his place among us so that we might take our place with him. Jesus commends baptism. In that baptism, he accepts the plight of Israel. And so in that baptism, he also accepts the plight of all humanity since then. He took his place among the prophets. He took his place among all people so that we can be restored. For Jesus, there was a connection between his work and the whole presence of the Holy Spirit in his life. And for the generations who have followed, there has been a connection between the work of Christianity, the work that Christians do, and the Holy Spirit. Some people know better than others that without God's presence, without the presence of the Holy Spirit, we do not have power to do what God asks us to do. In our service today, we are going to reaffirm our baptismal vows. In that reaffirmation, we are saying that again today, we want our hearts and our lives changed. We want God, we want to know that God is present with us at all times. We want to step up again today and say, I am a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus, and I want to live with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. We don't do our work by ourselves. We are in a long line of people who have depended on the Holy Spirit. Now, the sky may not open up for us, but I've got to believe that God looks down on us and sees our faithfulness and says to us, you bring me joy. It doesn't mean that we're done. It means that we continue on. Amen. If you would, take out the two inserts this morning. We're going to begin by recognizing those who have served the church and whose terms have been completed. I'm giving you a copy of this because throughout the year, sometimes people will say, who is it that's on the Board of Trustees? We don't remember the list of names you read that Sunday morning, Pastor. Or who is it that serves on the witness committee? I hope that you'll keep it handy so that you'll know. Today when I ask you to stand today, I want you to stand just right where you are. We take this opportunity to express our gratitude and appreciation to those who have completed their service on committees. Your willingness to use your gifts and abilities has strengthened the mission and ministry of this congregation. You have been examples of servant leadership and giving. For all of your time, effort, hard work, and prayers, please accept the thanks and appreciation of this people of God, its leaders and staff, and myself. Some of you have already agreed to serve on other committees. You have truly been a blessing to this congregation. Gordon Carncross has completed a two-year term on the church council as chair. Let's see. Pam Dixon resigned as treasurer earlier in the year. Gina Attila has completed her term. You know something? There's just very few of us here today. Gina has been the chair of Staff Parish Relations Committee. Louise Inge was the memorial chair. Jan Cole was on the Board of Trustees and on the memorial committee as a representative. Carol Janney has been on the memorial committee as a member at large. Mary Lee Lyon has been on the Lay Leadership Committee. We call it the nominations. Doris Barr has been the Methodist coordinator for a lot of years. And Leslie Cook is the head usher. Well, you can see right there, they are, okay? I would invite you to stand up, not everyone, because it would just get as crowded as the Jordan River. Would those of you who are near, Mary Lee and Carol, please express your gratitude to them for their service among us. That's a good way to do it. Okay. Dear friends, you have been called, this is the church leaders people who are church leaders now. You've been called by God and chosen by the people of God for leadership in the church. This ministry is a blessing and a serious responsibility. It recognizes your special gifts and calls you to work among us and for us. In love, we thank you for accepting your obligation and challenge you to offer your best to the Lord, to this people, and to our ministry in the world. Live a life in Christ and make Christ known in your witness and your work. Today, we commission Doug Hultberg as chair of the church council, Rosie Hagee as vice chair, John Budd is our lay leader, and that's a position that gets elected every year. John Budd and Tom Clark are our lay members, and that's a four-year term. Pat Mings is our recording secretary. Charlene Tativa is the alternate lay member.
Gina Akla is our treasurer, Mary Zins, our financial secretary. Our youth leader is Layla Drescher, and the youth member is Ethan Emchoff. Bruce Cook is chair of the Board of Trustees. Pat Yonke, finance and stewardship chair. Gordon Carncross is the new chair of the Memorial Committee. Emily Carncross is the new chair of Staff Parish Relations Committee. Mary Clark continues as the United Methodist Women's President. And the church school superintendent is Lisa Wenzel. Irene DeVoe, membership secretary. Sue Evans, nurture chair. Renee Grunewald, outreach leader. And Gina Akala, the witness leader. And Kevin Emchoff, Scott Allier, Tim Ladd, and Heather Haas are the members at large. On the staff parish committee, in addition to Emily, is Tim Marshall, Maria Andres, Suzanne Paskey, Rose Hagee, Tom Clark, and John Budd. In addition to Pat on finance are John and Tom, Doug Holtberg, Gordon Carncross, Bruce Cook, Mary Zins, Gina Akala, Emily Carncross, and members at large are Roger Cole, Jackie Counts, Chuck Frank, Craig Carncross, and Barb Holtberg. The stewardship task force is Chair Barb Holtberg, Gina Akala, and Suzanne Paskey. And just to let you know that those of us who are serving on that committee have a lot of fun. And if you want to have a lot of fun, please join us. Our audit committee is Court Drescher and Aaron Andres. Board of Trustees, Dave Dixon, Beth McNulty, Steve Wenzel, Heidi Holling, Doug Holtberg, Tim Enge, Bruce Cook, Kevin Emchoff, and Tom Andres. The Memorial Committee is made up of, in addition to Gordon, Joanne Budd as treasurer, Jane Cordero as secretary. The trustees rep is Bruce Cook, church council, and is Doug Holtberg, and Mary is a UMW representative, and Diane Keel is our member at large. On the lay leadership committee, John Budd, Roland Muller, Irene DeVoe, Tim Marshall, Leslie Cook, and Kari Marshall. And you can see there's a blank there if anyone would like to serve on that committee. Nurture is, in addition to Sue Evans, Lisa Wenzel, Layla Drescher, Joanne Budd, Sue Evans, Tatum Schrader, and Kari Marshall. Outreach, in addition to Renee, is Eileen Fritschler, Gordon Carncross, Leslie Cook, Chris and Nelson Davis, Dee Enge, and Dennis Ralke. The witness team, in addition to Gina, is Cindy Rothman, Robin Steinwig, Dolores Barr is off, Linnell Jaquish, Tom Clark, Stacy Paul, Tim Ladd, Rachel Ruland, Roxanne Andres, Marty Virtue, and Tim Ladd. The historical committee are Mary Peets and Verlin Muller, and our Camp Whitwin Camp Meeting representative is Karen Ladd. There's also two blanks for the Circuit 13 representatives. If anyone would like to know more about that, you're welcome to have a conversation with me. Now, those of you who are standing, do you this day acknowledge yourself as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ? Will you devote yourself to the service of God in the world? Will you so live that you enable this church to be a people of love and peace? Will you do all in your power to be responsible to the task for which you have been chosen? Oops, I forgot to bring it in with me. But we also recognize those persons who've been elected to office by the United Methodist Women. Now, let me see. That would be Mary Clark, Mary Peets, Sandra Sandridge, Sue Ballwig, Jane Cordero, Joanne Budd, Louise Enge, huh? And Dolores Barr. Okay. Remain standing and let us pray. Almighty God, pour out your blessings upon these your servants who have been given particular ministries in your church. Grant them grace to give themselves wholeheartedly in your service. Keep them before who did not think first of himself, but gave himself for us all. Let them share his ministry and consecration, that they may enter into his joy. Guide them in their work, reward their faithfulness with the knowledge that through them your purposes are accomplished. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Dear friends, rejoice that God provides laborers for the vineyards. Will you do all you can to assist and encourage these people in the responsibilities to which they have been called, giving them your cooperation, your counsel, and your prayers? If so, say. And will everyone stand and turn and thank those people who are already standing for their service and their ministry among us?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's not always easy. Hi there.
Hi.
Are you a grandma?
I'm grandma.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you, kids.
A couple things I want, this is a little commercial here, a couple things that I want to lift up for next Sunday. First of all, next Sunday is the annual pulpit exchange. Reverend John Smith from First Presbyterian will be here. I will be at St. John's Lutheran in Prairie du Sac. Keep us in your prayers as we prepare for that. Also next Sunday, following worship, there we are going to show the movie After the Flood. This is a movie that Chris Davis saw while she was at school at Mission U, United Methodist Women's School. And everyone is invited to that. We'll have a light lunch and go from there. Okay? I invite the ushers to come as we present our gifts. In part, your gifts support all of these administrative committees that we just highlighted. Thank you.
Let us pray together. Creating God, you love all people, especially those who are poor and vulnerable. We have seen your great compassion. Thank you for calling us to show compassion and uphold justice as members of the Church of Jesus Christ. We are grateful for opportunities to extend your love through our ministries. Use our gifts and offerings to help our neighbors who are in need of tangible goods and your Spirit's peace. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Let me lift up some people who can use prayers. Tom Clark had cataract surgery this week. It went very well. Alice Kinchy is now at Maplewood for some rehabilitation. Bruce Cook is having a hip replacement tomorrow. And the Cooks today are with family, the memorial service for Helen Larson was yesterday, so they're in prayer to Sheen with the family. Anything else? Let us pray. Creator God, when everything first began, water became a symbol of refreshing, of washing away, of renewing. Through the waters of creation, you brought forth abundant life. Today we gather to remember Jesus' baptism, how when he came up out of the water, your Spirit proclaimed that he was your beloved and you were well pleased. In his baptism, Jesus' ministry was initiated. He dedicated his life to you completely and without reservation. Help us also to dedicate our lives to you, to offer our best to you, to be of service to you by serving in your world. As we have lifted before you the names of people near and dear to us who need your healing touch and your tender mercies, we also lift ourselves as a people in need of grace. Heal this world, Lord. Heal us. Renew us with your life-giving waters as we reaffirm our baptisms as your children. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Would you turn to page 50 in the red hymnal? Brothers and sisters, in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew our covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and reaffirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit.
Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Pour your Holy Spirit on, pour out your Holy Spirit, and by this gift of water, call to our remembrance the grace declared in our baptism. For you have washed away our sins, and you clothe us in righteousness throughout our lives, that dying and rising with Christ, we may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. I invite you to come forward. If you want, I will touch your forehead or your head with hair. If you want to touch yourself, you're invited to do that. Baptism.
give thanks for all that God has already given us as members of the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We will faithfully participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. The God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen. And will you turn to hymn number 252 in the red hymnal, When Jesus Came to Jordan. Stand.
When Jesus came to baptized by John, he did not come for pardon, but as the sinless one, he came to share repentance with all who mourn their sins, to speak the vital sentence with which good news begins.
Laid claim to your life. By your baptism, you have been marked as God's own forever. In grace, may God watch over you. In strength, may you go forth in service. May the God who reigns over all creation give us strength and bless us with peace. Amen.